Yeah, boy, it is July 11th. It's episode 156, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of the Fantasy Football Auction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to all things auction. So for you, we're going to take a look at the AFC South. There's no Mr. Blister tonight, but we do have Slim with us tonight. Slimbo, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to talking here about some AFC. Did a lot of writing about the NFC, so it's good to get my feet wet now on the other conference.
And did lots of writing here in the last day or so. We're getting things rolling for the membership site. Got a couple new articles that just put up and posted for members. We're getting auction values rolling and ranks rolling. So if you head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, and click on the members area, have a look and see what we have to offer. If you're preparing for auctions, we are the first and only website that's dedicated to auctions. So check out the membership site over there, $14.95. Just about the cost of a magazine, but it's not just the one article telling you about how great fantasy auctions are. It's lots of depth. Slim just put on an article about Superflex and 2QB leagues and how to set up your budgets, and you're not going to find content like that on auctions anywhere else. So check that out on the website. Slim, are you ready to break down some AFC South?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we're going to continue on our division breakdown tonight. It's AFC South. So we've got the four teams to talk about, the Texans and the Colts and the Jags and the Titans. There was a lot of action with the rookie drafts. We've got some free agents that have been picked up by some of these teams. So let's just get right into it. Let's take a look first at the Houston Texans. They were busy in the draft, drafting a quarterback. They've been trying to make some moves to set up that offense. It's not going to match the defense, but they need to set up that offense so that they can not just make the playoffs, but go a little bit deeper. What do you like about the Texans heading into 2017?
I'll be honest, I'm not real high on them offensively much at all. And a big part for me, because it comes down to the quarterback, I'm just not a big Deshaun Watson fan. I never was. And to me, the biggest knock on him, and some of you might have heard this before, to me, it's arm strength. Listening to some podcasts and reading articles leading into our Dynasty rookie draft, Deshaun Watson, the number was, I think, 50 miles per hour. There is only one quarterback in the NFL currently that has that cannot throw the ball over 50 miles an hour, and that's Mike Glennon. Deshaun Watson is now.
His arms were too long, that's why.
Yeah, it must be. I would think the longer your arms, the more velocity you should get, but I don't know.
Yeah, I could have the muscle to fit, I guess. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I know he's a competitor in college and all this stuff, but the NFL is not college. I don't want my starting quarterback not being able to make all the throws. I don't believe if you can't throw the ball at this baseline level of velocity that you're capable of making all the throws against pro corners who don't give you much space. So if I've got a quarterback that can't make all the throws, what does that do for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and stuff? We saw last year what happened when the quarterback play was trash. That offense became trash. I don't necessarily like much now about this because I don't have any confidence or any more confidence than what we had in Brock Osweiler at the end of last year.
All right. So you're not confident that Watson's going to be an uptick. So then obviously that's not giving Hopkins an uptick. We're not going to see much improvement in the running game. Is there anything they've done there to help Lamar Miller out?
No, I think if anything, they've hurt Lamar Miller's value because they brought in Dante Foreman. And again, I wasn't super high on Dante Foreman coming out. He wasn't a guy I wanted to target in my rookie drafts per se, but I think he will be there to definitely eat into a few of Lamar Miller's carries. We'll have to see where Lamar Miller's price is. I know it's going to be a far cry from where it was last year.
Yeah.
But if you can get him maybe as your RB2, you know, for $25 or something like that, yeah, you might want to kick the tires on that. I think maybe he's not as talented as what we saw at times in Miami. We kind of got duped a little bit into that. But if he's going to still get a lot of touches, definitely there's something to be said for having some of that volume.
I was just going to say, I don't know why they don't just feed him the rock. I mean, they paid enough for him. He was supposed to be the workhorse. He's been begging for touches. Just give it to him over and over.
It looked like at times last year, and there were reports that, if I recall, he wasn't in the best condition. He pulled himself out of games when things weren't going well, whether he was kind of pouting, or I think, you know, they had issues with the offensive line a little bit. I mean, those aren't necessarily good signs if you have this running back who, you know, gets pissy when he can't break big plays and things like that. And that was kind of always one of the knocks, was that he was capable of this big play ability. I used to think that he was. I'll admit, I was a Lamar Miller truther for a while. I've kind of come down off of that a little bit, especially after last year. And I'm not really ready to kind of start climbing back up there yet. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to pay up for him in any drafts this year. I just think where he's going to be drafted, for me, there's going to be a lot of guys that I would rather have.
Okay, so if I'm looking at his stat line for last year, Slim, the big thing here that stands out is touchdowns. I mean, outside of that, you just give him the rock. He played in 14 games. He had 268 carries and 31 receptions on 39 targets. So, I mean, he's at 300 touches in 14 games. He rushed for just over 1,000 yards. If you look at yards alone, he's running back 10. That's not bad. You crank out a couple more touchdowns, get from 5 to 8 or 9. It doesn't take much from the jump up, I don't think.
No, I think that there's definitely room to jump. I think you need a capable passer to have that happen. I mean, if you look at his points per game, he was 19th. So, I mean, yeah, he did pile up yardage. He did it on a lot of touches. So, I don't know. To me, the whole situation doesn't bode well. I mean, yes, I believe Hopkins is talented, but I do firmly believe that there's no such thing as a wide receiver being quarterback proof. We saw with Antonio Brown even last year. When Ben Roethlisberger goes down, Landry Jones is not capable of sustaining Antonio Brown anywhere near to what we would expect on a regular week-to-week basis from him. And Hopkins is no different. I think to me it starts with the quarterback. If they're incapable, Lamar Miller's going to see stacked boxes, and his yards per carry is going to drop. And, you know, if he's getting frustrated and all this stuff is true, then it's just a big snowball building up throughout the season.
What if Savage starts?
I don't necessarily think there's much difference. I believe that you might see a couple games from him out of the gate, but I think defenses will cue in. I would probably, if I was a Texans fan, and I know that this would be the minority because they're probably stoked that they all took Deshaun Watson. You know, you want to see this influx of, you know, young talent coming at quarterback, and you don't have anything there. I get it, but I think Savage would probably give them the best bet to win, in my opinion. But whether they actually do that, takes a lot of stones to do that. But
yeah, we'll see. I was going to say, pretty good.
They admitted they messed up with the Osweiler signing by trading him to Cleveland for virtually nothing. So they might pull the pin on, you know, Watson and let Savage kind of take over. If Savage does something with it, I mean, we saw Brian Hoyer do that, but I think Brian Hoyer is at least a competent NFL quarterback, and he at least had the smarts to force feed his top weapon.
Right.
And we didn't see that last year. Maybe Savage will do that if he gets the chance this year.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next team where we know there's no question mark at quarterback. Let's take a look at the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, we know Andrew Luck. We know T.Y. Hilton. So, Slim, like, what else do we need to know about the Colts heading into this year?
Well, I think one thing for me is I am watching Andrew Luck because, by all reports, his shoulder was messed up, and he still hasn't been throwing yet. And I don't want to be drafting Andrew Luck, and I don't necessarily want to be drafting a guy like T.Y. Hilton highly if Luck isn't going to be playing at all in the preseason. That's a scary thing to me as a quarterback. If you're not able to even throw yet, then you're running out of time to recover and get back out in the field. So that's the one thing I'm watching the most right now is when does Luck get back? When he's in there, he's sweet. But the fact that he's still being drafted, you know, ahead of guys like Drew Brees in some cases, Russell Wilson in some cases, like, blows me away. I would much rather be taking those guys right now just for the simple fact that I know they're actually going to play all 16 games.
Right. So what about draft pick-wise? They pick up Marlon Mack here. We know that Ferrar is forever aging, but like a fine wine, he just keeps getting better. Do you look at someone like Marlon Mack heading into your draft?
Yeah, I think I would target a guy like Marlon Mack. I think he's one of the few rookies. I shouldn't say that one. He's a handful of rookies at running back especially that can have some value, even if Frank Gore's health. I think they're going to try and mix in, obviously, Robert Turbin or Marlon Mack. I would be very hesitant to buy a guy like Mack for more than a dollar or two because I think there is still a chance that Robert Turbin keeps him off the field. I mean, rookie running backs,
right,
if he can't pick up pass protection, things like that, then he might struggle to see playing time for definitely the early part of the season, but maybe the whole majority of the season. So I in the article I wrote about the aging running backs, I talked a lot about Gore. But for me, he's a good value right now. I think age is going to be a little bit discriminatory in terms of his price. And the production is going to be there. They've already said they plan on using him the same. It's his backfield right now, even at his age. And you know what? He hasn't been lighting the world on fire the last few years, but he's, plugs away with his 3.9 yards per carry, 4 yards per carry. And that's good enough. And he's going to get volume and he's going to catch a few passes. And, that's going to keep him in the conversation as maybe a low end RB1. And you're going to get him for probably a hell of a lot cheaper than that.
And so, receiving core wise, Monmouth, Dorsett, the emergence of Jack Doyle, is there anyone here you're high on targeting or throwing out early in the auction because you think other people are they can't believe the hype?
I mean, I like Hilton. Don't get me wrong. I think he's typically sometimes undervalued by a lot of people, whether it just be for his size and things like that. So I think a lot of us don't think of him as this prototypical wide receiver one, which physically he isn't, but in that offense, he produces like that. As far as other pass receiving options, I mean, I think the ship has sailed on Philip Dorsett, at least it has for me. A sneaky guy for me is a guy like Kamar Aiken to have at the last spot of your draft, get him for a buck. If Dante Moncrief isn't anything, and I don't want to say, I shouldn't say anyone, the points that he did score last year was very touchdown dependent. I don't think that's a pace that he can sustain. He can't average a touchdown a game, I don't believe. Luck liked looking at him in the red zone for whatever reason. I don't know if that will change. I mean, we've heard rumors about Eric Swope coming in. That's a big body that could look for some red zone targets. But if Moncrief, doesn't stay healthy again or just doesn't show in his development in terms of route running, a guy like Kamar Aiken could be a real sneaky wide receiver too in a high-volume offense that you can get for virtually nothing in the draft. just a guy I'm keeping on my radar.
Yeah, one of those late at the end, threw him down for a dollar, or an early enough one, right? Like somewhere, you know, you're an hour in and you just kind of sneak him in a buck and then he just goes and people aren't expecting it. And because sometimes at that late end of the auction, you know, there's a guy like me sitting around with $17 to fill three spots, right?
And looking then $2 on everybody. Yeah. That's, but yeah, you're right.
Exactly. So, but I mean, that might be an opportunity there too. All right, so let's move on. Speaking of opportunities, looking at running back opportunities and possibly receiving opportunities with the Jaguars, they draft Leonard Fournette to be the workhorse. We know Allen Robinson has the ability, but can Bortles be the quarterback? What do you see with the Jags this year?
Again, it comes down very similar to Houston. What does Bortles bring to this offense? They keep talking about building this defense and everything. Well, that hasn't worked, and they're constantly playing from behind. So a lot of the scummers they put up in the last couple of years have been garbage time variety. Did Bortles develop? That'll be the question. And this will be probably his year. If he hasn't developed at all, then I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season a guy like Chad Henne started. I think they're to the point where they'll be sick of seeing him out there floundering, and they'll just say, you know what, putting the veteran guy in, we're going to try and, you know, win some games here late in the season just to whatever, get it together a little bit. This to me hurts guys like Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. Marquise Lee kind of emerged last year after we left him for dead going into last season. So it's kind of, you know, this battle to me between Hurns and Lee. I'm not really sure who I want to take. I think in a situation like this, I'd go with the cheapest option, which is probably going to be Marquise Lee. I believe Allen Robinson can bounce back, and that's mainly because I believe simply in his athletic profile. He profiles as an elite number one receiver. Again, like I just said, no receiver to me is quarterback proof. So unless Bortles does develop somewhat, A-Rob is maybe destined to perform, I don't want to say as badly as last year, because I feel like that is pretty much his rock bottom. But I think he might not live up to the expectations in 2017 that some of us might be thinking, you know, as we go back to 2015, when we kind of got our first taste of who this Allen Robinson guy really is. So I think it could be somewhere in the middle, but again, it'll come down to Blake Bortles.
Well, and you look at, like, the targets. I mean, Allen Robinson, I'm just looking now at 151 targets last year. I mean, that's massive, right? And if you let just a little bit of accuracy by Bortles helps probably make those 73 receptions more into the 90s, right? And that could come down to O-line play. Did they do work in the offseason to make you think more about that O-line?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
I know. For some reason, I was just trying to look it up myself, and I thought that they had done a little bit of work to the O-line, but I'm on Pro Football Focus right now, and we can't really see it.
Yeah, it looks like they brought in Watford from Arizona, Brandon Albert, big signing for them as a free agent. So, yeah, there is definitely – and that was a big thing going in. They did need to address some offensive line issues. Like you said, go back to Allen Robinson. Like, dude has a 90th percentile catch radius. Like, he – you get in his vicinity, he's probably going to catch it. That, to me, shows, you know, 150 targets. That's just Blake Bortles throwing really shitty passes. And I'll say this. I'm not a Blake Bortles believer. I never really have been. I wouldn't be surprised if this is his last year in Jacksonville, to be honest. I'm not real hopeful that he bounces back, but we'll see. Apparently he's committed. I feel like he's just one of these guys. He was never really probably committed to developing fully, putting in the work that was needed for him. He was just always gifted, went to a small school, played against some weaker competition that he could excel against, and never had to really build that kind of work ethic in. And hopefully he does that now as he's mature and he's learning, hey, man, my job could be on the line here. So we'll see.
Yeah. Leonard Fournette, is he a guy you're going to throw out early in your auction to try to get some money pulled out? Do you think guys are going to be looking at him with the Zeke effect and thinking that he's going to be the same type of guy as Zeke? Like, that's my, I'm thinking off the top of my head as far as a strategy would go in the first couple of rounds to throw that guy out and try to get him out inflated.
No, I agree. I think with Zeke, what he did last year, we're going to see people want to pay for Leonard Fournette. And it might even be that they want to pay a lot. I think that they're just always going to be willing to pay more than I will want to pay. I'm not a necessarily huge believer. I need to see it a little bit from him. I think he's talented. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not sure how he's going to fit that offense. And I'm not real psyched about these kind of in-between-the-tackles, just pounders. I don't know how that offense is going to suit for that. If that defense doesn't improve, then is he going to be getting a lot of those kinds of touches in the second halves of games and things like that? I know they ideally want to. I'm sure they want to just pile the carries onto him if they can, but I don't know if they'll necessarily be able to do that. I just think there's more, for me, red flags and I'm willing to spend on. And I'm almost certain there's going to be one or two guys in every draft that I'm in that will be willing to pay more than me. So he's a guy I probably won't own on any teams, even if I really did want to own him.
Just because you're not willing to pay up for him because someone's going to be paying up for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think every year we just know there's certain players that are will never be in our price range. What we're comfortable spending.
So let's take a look at another team with a high draft pick offensively. The Titans, finally, to wrap up the AFC South. They draft Corey Davis at 105. And I think that guys in rookie drafts like me who take him, you're like, woo. And then all of a sudden, the addition of Eric Decker, you go, is that going to bode well for him in year one or not? I know if you're looking more than. But this year, does a guy like Decker change Corey Davis and his value for you this year?
Yeah, I think it definitely hurts it. I don't see how it can't. I think that they, as psyched as I was about the Titans offense, and I still am, I did think that they were going to want to throw the ball a little bit more this year. They would want to see what they had in Mariota. I just think that Decker now is going to really command a lot of targets, especially for what is still probably going to be moderately volumed passing offense. So I think, yeah, definitely hurts Rishard Matthews. It definitely hurts Corey Davis, whatever you're going to get from him. I think it definitely hurts Delanie Walker even a little bit. So there's a lot of little nuances. I think you just got to drop these guys all down a little bit. And for me, a guy like Corey Davis, who was probably on the cusp of, I wasn't really going to be super high on targeting him in drafts anyways. This might virtually take him off of my draft list. But especially with how much depth there is at wide receiver, I just have a hard time saying that you need to even take the flyer on this guy in your draft right now.
One, I think he's another guy because he's a big name in an early draft pedigree here that you can throw out early in your auction again and try to just snake some money out of guys and set some tier value. I think the only problem is like just thinking like you're where you are actually going to tier them and where other guys are tiering them, I think you're going to be in different locations. And so you might not be able to use them as a tier price point, you know what I mean? Or as a setting point, because you're not going to value him the same as some others, I think, might. There's always a couple, three guys in your draft that just get that, blood flowing for the rookies, right? And they want their hands on all these big name guys, especially if you're in a league, your home league like us has dynasty guys in it too. They are going to have all that information just rolling around in their brain, and then some of these guys are going to come in overvalued because they've done so much work for the rookie drafts coming in.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know if I'd necessarily throw him out early, but I think he's a prime candidate for me to throw out kind of in those mid rounds when tiers are starting to kind of run a little dry. And maybe, you know, there's a couple guys left in your third or fourth wide receiver tier, and you're kind of hoping they last a little bit longer. So I'll nominate a guy like this from a lower wide receiver tier, just hoping, hey, maybe someone spends $10 on it. That's great. That's $10 less. And maybe I get a guy that I'm targeting for a little bit cheaper once, you know, when he actually does get nominated. So,
right.
Yeah, I think you could definitely use a guy like Corey Davis or any of these kind of higher profile rookies to your advantage if you're not planning on drafting them.
All right. Anything else to add to the Titans? I mean, Mariota, what do you think? What do you think of him this year?
Love him this year. I just love what Tennessee's done the last couple of years. I think they've surrounded him with enough weapons now. They kind of let him work a little bit on offense last year, passing-wise. He's got a great offensive line. He's got running backs. Everything is there. And I think this is the year where we start to see them take the training wheels off, very similar to what's going to happen with Jameis Winston. I mean, these are the two guys that I think are going to take big leaps. I wouldn't be shocked if Mariota finishes in the top five fantasy QBs. He's got that rushing ability. I'm loving what Tennessee's doing. I think Eric Decker is going to be awesome for Mariota. It'll be a great red zone presence. I'm actually really excited for what Tennessee looks to be doing.
All right, and DeMarco Murray, is he an RB1 heading into this year?
Yeah, I love DeMarco Murray. I love everybody, geez. But I like DeMarco Murray this year. I think people are getting too gung-ho with Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick Henry is talented. I think Derrick Henry is awesome, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal running back when he gets his chance. I just don't think the chances this year. In looking at DeMarco Murray's contract, he is essentially, the Titans can cut him for nothing next year. He's got no dead cap money left. That they saved him about $6.5 million, I believe. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but so I feel like they're going to try and ride him into the ground this year, and which is good. He's a talented running back. He should do well, especially with that offensive line, one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in the NFL. But we're seeing Derrick Henry being drafted, you know, higher and higher as the summer goes on. I don't get it. I think he's very talented. I want him. Traded a lot for him in our dynasty league to get him, but not for this year. Now's not the time to be drafting Derrick Henry in redraft. 2018 is probably going to be Derrick Henry's year. So don't pay the price to get Derrick Henry. Don't feel like if you get DeMarco Murray, you got to handcuff him. There's no point spending that much on a handcuff for DeMarco Murray. I think DeMarco Murray should eat behind this offensive line, and I think he's easily an RB1 issue.
And so I just looked at Fantasy Pros real quick just to see where others kind of have Derrick Henry, and right now his consensus rank is RB35. Do you think that fits for him?
That still seems a little bit high to me for a guy that we project.
Well, he's sandwiched in between Robert Kelly and Samaje Perine.
I suppose that is fairly close to where I would think he could go. It's a little bit lower than I was thinking. I assumed he would be getting drafted with guys like, you start getting into some of these PPR backs like Theo Riddick and things like that. I would rather have those guys all day over Derrick Henry. And I love Derrick Henry. I'm probably the biggest. I'll be honest, if he was in the draft this year, I would have taken him 1-on-1. I think he's better than Fournette. He's better than any other running back that was in there. He just came out with Zeke Elliott. So yeah. I'm not even sold that he might even be better than Zeke Elliott or as good as Zeke Elliott. I mean, he went to a situation where he didn't get to play right away.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. You just be cautious with a guy like Derrick Henry. Don't drink the Kool-Aid hearing all this hype, and like I just can't see why Tennessee is just gonna say, here you go, Derek, take the reins. I mean, maybe he starts just crushing it and they have no choice but to use him more and more and more, which that wouldn't shock me, but I can't pay for that without seeing it first.
Makes sense. All right, so Slim, that's the AFC South. If there isn't anything else to add in there, then why don't we wrap this up and we'll get going with another AFC division next.
Sounds good, man.
Sounds good. All right, so again, don't forget to head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Take a look at the membership area there. That's a great way to support us. You can also support us by giving us a rating and a review on iTunes or whatever particular podcast player you are using. That helps us to move up the ranks. So you can support us that way too. It takes about a minute and a half to, you know, click on a couple of stars and give us, you know, cool or some stupid comment like that. Anyways, that would help us out. And make sure you're heading to the website to check out auction values and our player rankings as well, because we're working hard to get that content out and ready for you. Slim, I will see you very soon, buddy. And for everyone else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.